Hi, and welcome back to the Fleet Navigator podcast, your GPS for all fleet matters. I'm Matthew Walters, Head of Consultancy Services, and this morning we're talking about public sector fleets. So the government set out plans for the UK to become a net zero carbon economy by 2050, and curbing emissions from transport is high on the agenda. Mandatory zero emission ZEV targets for cars and vans will be introduced during 2024. Increasing each year to reach 100% of new registrations by 2035. And with new tax incentive, many businesses are working towards earlier dates to go all electric. And for the public sector, that's a real challenge. So, you know, we're used to dealing with large corporates and small corporates and SMEs. And actually, the public sector, you guys are different in terms of the way you do business, the way you engage, the targets, your budgets, the way you fund. It's not necessarily always as simple as it's either contract hire or it's outright purchase. There are other ways to look at plant, machinery, vehicles. And you've got other things on your books that are covered by the ZEV mandates and the EV legislation. So there's growing pressure on you to follow suit. So central government's committed to electrifying its entire fleet before 2028. So your targets are actually well before the 2035 deadline. So they're much more stringent for you. Local authorities are being told to make battery electric the norm for cars and light commercial vehicles. And with Euro 7 pollutant limits and EU-wide CO2 targets on the horizon, several manufacturers are phasing out fuel burning models by the end of the decade. That includes Volvo, the likes of Fiat. Stellantis have made some grounds in that area as well. And don't forget that Euro 7 is going to be the last Euro standard that deals with ICE vehicles. Euro 8, or whatever replaces it, will deal specifically with zero emission technology. So what are you guys worried about? So what does research tell us? So we surveyed public sector, not-for-profit fleet operators about their approaches to electrification. And the results highlighted some interesting areas, some maybe not surprising, some more surprising. So funding was frequently cited as a bottleneck. So we know that you guys tend to have limited budget for more expensive electric vehicles and charging infrastructure. And actually, that can result in some lower management level engagement, lower level rather than corporate fleets. Again, it's worthwhile us as your suppliers and providers, again, recognizing as LeasePlan ALD do, you guys operate in a slightly different way. It's why we've got a set of public sector champions. So not only have we got a dedicated public sector team within the organization, which is there specifically to look after you guys, but you've got people like me, Head of Consultancy Services, who's a dedicated public sector champion, and others like us around the business who are there to learn about public sector and engage with you and help you in addition to our regular day jobs. So decarbonisation targets are, of course, a concern. More than half of you told us that you weren't confident about meeting your targets. And some of you have added that you're worried about ageing vehicles and complying with clean air zones. Yeah, it's an interesting one on CASes or clean air zones. Again, keeping up with who is doing what and where and when and what it means between what times and which categories of vehicles can be really, really quite difficult. There's lots of guidance for you on local council websites. You can go there through leaseplan.com. We've got some really good literature on there as well. But again, we'd urge local government to tie in together to help you guys understand where clean air zones are popping up and what you need to do about it. So we also looked at how a fleet policy can support electric vehicles. So we know that electric cars are a mainstream choice for fleets, accounting for half of new business contract hire deliveries. That's according to the BVRLA, or the British Vehicle Rental and Leasing Association. It's the last time I'll use their full name for obvious reasons. And while demand for battery electric vans and trucks is beginning to pick up, updating your fleet policy is a really good foundation for accelerating that demand. So why? Well, times have changed and things have moved on. There's loads more choice now. 34 of the 45 car brands and 7 of the 23 light commercial vehicle brands in SMMT, or Society of Motor Manufacturers and Traders data, they offer EVs, right? These range from city vehicles to large vans, SUVs. We're starting to see the rise of things like quad cycles, e-mopeds, last mile delivery vehicles now. We are looking at these things in our dedicated commercial vehicle team. Whole life costs, and then a small hill on which I die, or total cost of operation, as it's sometimes referred to. So we've got some of the lowest electric vehicle operating costs in Europe. That's according to the 2023 Lease Plan EV Readiness Index. And again, whilst that's a self-publication, that's actually now being used by people like the Electric Fleets Coalition and EV100 as part of their communication with government as a really good reference for organisations within Europe and the UK to look and see just how ready we are. Electric vehicles can halve a fleet's fuel expenses while qualifying for zero-rate vehicle excise duty, low company car tax and capital allowances. Zero-rate VED, we already know that that's going to change in 2025. It's a bit of a head scratch because obviously we're now putting vehicles on the road that in 2025 will be charged. So when we're engaging with you and companies and public sector people like you, we're already having those conversations just to make sure that you're clear about what those long costs are. And again, those are picked up in whole life cost and total cost of operation modelling. Grant funding is still available for vans. Don't be put off by higher price or lease prices. Whole life costs can be lower, albeit vans are still do have a higher ticket price. And consider leasing. Well, we would say that, wouldn't we? Right? But 73% of public sector fleets are still purchasing some of their vehicles outright. And it's not always the right thing to do. Now, we as a consultancy, a consultancy team that functions within a leasing company, whilst we don't sit and trumpet our independence, what we do is we will give you an independent view of your financing. Why would we not, when all you would need to do is go to one of the big four or one of the smaller boutiques who would tell you an answer? It's not within our wheelhouse, and it's not to our benefit to simply say that leasing is the right choice in every scenario. And where it isn't, we can tell you. And it may well be a mix. For longer term contracts, we may suggest finance leases. For those vehicles where you may wish to purchase them at the end, we might enter into lease purchase, hire purchase or contract purchase arrangements with you. Or leasing, contract hire is one of the most popular risk-free methods. For some of those lower value, and in the public sector, we're talking kind of sub 100,000 here, those lesser value assets is a really good thing to look at. Higher ticket items, we know that you guys operate, anything up to £500,000 for, a very, very good, decent new refuse truck isn't unusual. So what do you need to consider when installing charge points? Probably one of the biggest headaches when we talk to public sector clients and indeed corporate customers. So the UK has got one of Europe's biggest public charging networks, got 48,000 charge points out there. However, there's no interoperability rules at the moment. They don't talk to each other. Your drivers need multiple apps. You need multiple apps. It's also difficult because there's no legislation on wider bays for commercial vehicles, which we've been campaigning for, and hopefully is in the Office for Zero Emission Vehicle legislation coming next year. But again, public awareness campaigns, something again we've called for. We do see incidences because we own the vehicles where drivers are abused and vehicles are abused, where commercial vehicle drivers are parking in public access charge points. And the public viewpoint is that they shouldn't be charging there. It's for cars only, or more specifically, my car. So drivers don't need planning permission to install their own charge point, right? But that's only if it's in a driveway or a garage. You can also pay to install charging equipment at employees' houses without this being cast as a taxable benefit. Single charge points, though, are getting pricier, right? So the grant funding's gone for homeowners in particular. There are still grants available for workplace charging schemes, but for the home prices specifically, they've gone. And expensing the cost of home charging can be problematic. We know around the AER rates, it just hasn't kept up with rising energy costs. If you charge at home 100% of the time now with the revised energy cap, it just about cuts the mustard. But any aspect of public charging, whether that be on a low grade charge point, whether that be on a rapid or an ultra rapid, just makes the numbers not work. And an HMRC compliant automated reimbursement solution can simplify that process. And again, there's options that we can talk to you about. So whether that's the MENA option, whether that's an all-star option, albeit Fleetcore now own both of those organizations, whether that be a Shell or a BP option for you, we've got a range of products in our portfolio that can help you with some of those headaches. So what about workplace charging? So the workplace charging scheme does provide up to £350 per socket towards installation hardware costs. That's capped at 40 sockets per applicant, and dual charge points do qualify for tool grant, but charge points still have to be located off street. Charging at work is benefit in kind exempt even if it's for private journeys. So this is a recent revision to the legislation, or clarification from Revenue, which kind of came out under the radar a few weeks ago, actually. And we, myself and my team wrestle with this dichotomy between, is it AER or can you pay actual cost for energy? And for ICE vehicles, actual cost has long been a thing that you can do without incurring any benefit in kind or any additional cost to the company. For electric, that's slightly harder when you've got mixed charging rates, you've got mixed VAT rates, and you have to be able to split business and private mileage at the charge socket. Well, no more at home. Employers can actually pay for all of the kilowatt hours that run through a charge point, benefit in kind free, providing the driver can evidence that it has been solely used for their electric vehicle. And for most households at the moment, at least, until electric vehicles proliferate further, most households will only have one vehicle on their driveway that's electric. So local authorities can support business and residents' charging needs. This is a really interesting one, and corporates and local authorities are starting to join hands as well. With one of our larger companies, they've recently done some engagement with two bus companies up north. They're looking at charging a couple of their depots or installing charge points. And actually, they're going into partnership so they can swap their charge points, so the buses can use the charge points when the buses are there at night, and the guys can use the charge points in the day. So again, there's, with some joined up thinking and some conversations, there are some really, really good options available to local authorities and corporates to work together hand in hand on some of this stuff. Grid connection upgrades. Again, probably a couple of years ago, my team got sick and fed up of me standing on my hill and preaching about how much it cost for the grid upgrade and it should be able to be offset about capital allowances. Well, actually now, most of the costs, whether you're corporate or home, will be covered by the DNO. So again, this was a recent change that sort of flew under the radar a little bit, where the DNOs were charging some fairly exorbitant fees, actually. So again, some of the help, support, understanding. For me, it's all about a conversation. It's about talking to the DNO. It's about talking to other companies. But again, it's where those contacts are made. How do you get in touch with someone from the DNO? Who do I need to talk to? And again, that's something that we can help you with. So how can fleets get driver buy-in for electric vehicles? That was a really good question that was posed by one of the attendees at Fleet Live recently, where we sponsored the public sector webinar and the public sector space, as we have done for the last couple of years. And it's really crucial. And for me, it really starts with the driver looking at efficient driving. So, you know, looking at how drivers are behaving with their vehicles and evidencing the fact that their private mileage, if you allow private mileage use, is going to be less costly. But also many drivers now are actually getting more switched on because, you know, with having children, you know, with the news, with sustainability agendas, with what's happening across the world, people are getting a lot more switched on to wanting to do their bit in terms of sustainable driving and actually doing zero emission miles. Home and workplace charging. Really look quite hard at who is eligible to, or who is able to drive an EV. Have they got home charge point access? What's your attrition like? How long do you tend to keep your staff? Where are people driving? How are people driving? There's this temptation that everybody needs a 300 mile range electric vehicle. And actually the truth is that most people don't. It's just a luxury that's been given to them because they've had the luxury of driving petrol and diesel. And again, education for drivers. You don't need to fully charge your EV. We're so used to turning up at a fuel station and just filling it up to the top. That's not how you behave from a charging perspective in an EV. You only charge it for the number of miles that you're going to need to get you back to where you regularly charge. But for me, communication is king. So talking with your drivers, engaging with your drivers, communicating them about what you want to do and why, and who can get into an EV. Our evidence shows that 74% of EV drivers, once they're in an EV, will never go back because it's a much, much better driving experience. It's quieter, tends to be slower because you're trying to maximize your range, and it's much, much better on drivers' mental health. Yes, really. Commercial vehicles, though, could also support vehicles by telematics. Actually, that becomes quite a vital part of the infrastructure and the equation to look at drivers' mileages, to look at your fleet behavior, and to see where electric could be an option now, rather than going down the road of the temptation of plug-in hybrids, which, let's be honest, are a stepping stone towards EV And whilst improvements to that technology are being made, they are still a little bit of an easy choice where more work, if you do that, put that work in and that effort in, could lead you down the road to EV much quicker. So we're here to help. All right. As I said before, we've got a dedicated public sector team to whom you can talk. We have public sector champions across the business who that team will plug into, where they have their knowledge gaps or where they feel they can bring expertise. And myself and my team in consultancy love nothing more than sitting down and talking with customers, understanding your challenges and seeing where you can help. So we can help model whole life costs, total cost of operation. We can offer solutions. We can look at charging. We've recently done a piece over in the Channel Islands, which was a partnership between G4S and EO, looking at solar, looking at electrifying depots. So it's not all about the car for us anymore. We have a responsibility as an aggregator and as a sustainability leader to join some of these things up and help you. So to take your next steps, contact us. You can go through leaseplan.com. You can call into the offices, you can go through our webmail, put those addresses in an insert in a minute. So there's plenty more on the Fleet Navigator stable, and it's all there available for you. There'll be a budget podcast coming up shortly, or a budget Fleet Navigator podcast coming up on the 23rd of November, as well as an end of year retrospective on all those things that have happened. But for now, thank you for listening. See you soon.